Well, we've been working through a series called Surviving the Summer, and I know how to survive, and I hope that is your message as we finish each of these topics and we're going through those. And hopefully God is using those to help you to be able to see a little clearer picture of how he wants to work in each of our lives. This morning, the message that we're talking about is going to be surviving unhealthy relationships. And what that looks like, what does that mean for each one of us, and how does God want to work? Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, teach us this morning, help the words that I would share that they might be yours, not mine. I'll give you thanks in Christ's name, amen. The topic this morning, really surviving unhealthy relationships, is a really challenging one, as I would share with you. I feel challenged to share it, but there are several things that I would like for you to help to understand in that regard. There are a couple quizzes that I'd like to start out with. A quiz, there are actually two that you can be able to look up. I'm going to move very quickly through these, so you won't really be able to get quite that feel. But if you look at loveisrespect.org, if you look at that particular one, there's a quiz there that you can be able to take. And then also this particular one that's on BeliefNet that I'm talking about. This is basically just a secular one, but it has great truth for us, and this is from a Christian perspective. The emotionally destructive relationship, seeing it, stopping it, surviving it. And so what that might help teach. And so there's actually the emotionally destructive marriage also. I think Priscilla is able to order those for either of those books for you if you'd like them in the bookstore. But I want to ask some questions in this regard, just so you would look into these a little bit more. My hope is, by sharing this and by sharing these signals that you could be able to look at, is that if you are in a toxic relationship or an unhealthy one, that you would seek help to be able to move toward a positive one, or take some steps that might be helpful for you in that regard. Just kind of protecting yourself, protecting your relationships in a healthy way. I don't ever counsel for divorce. That's not my responsibility. That's a person's choice. I would certainly believe there are biblical grounds for divorce, and I think that that's a part of that. But what I do counsel for is separation often, because sometimes you just need to be out of the environment that is very destructive before you can be able to see clearly what you need to see in that relationship. And so hopefully there are some things that I'll be telling you that'll help you in that process of understanding what is healthy and what is necessary. So I'm going to walk through these questions really quick. I'm going to use the second one. I did both the first service, but I'm just going to use this one, this service. And the answers would be never, sometimes, or frequently, okay? Does the person use physical force or threats of force to make you do something you don't want to do, or keep you from doing something you want to do? Does the person use verbal weapons such as cursing, name-calling, degrading comments, constant criticism, or blaming to get you to do something you don't want to do or keep you from doing something you want to? Does the person curse at you, call you names, humiliate you in public, or degrade you when he or she is unhappy with something you do? Does the person force or manipulate you to perform sexually in ways you do not want to? I always say this as well, just to encourage you in a dating relationship in this regard, there's an importance to make sure, and for you that are single and have not entered into a marriage, premarital sex is always wrong. It's always wrong. And so I want to make sure that you understand biblically that is the grounds, that is the responsibility. And if you have been married and aren't back and divorced and now in the dating relationship, it's still wrong. Premarital sex is still wrong. And so it's an important message. And I mean, I just really feel that needs to be out there, because anytime God gives us guidelines that need to be followed for our relationship, and anytime we're going to violate those boundaries and we're not going to follow those, there are always consequences that are going to come as a result. And so what I often hear is there's pressure in a dating relationship to have sex, and what the pressure is, if you love me, prove it. Well, your response should be, if you love me, you prove it by not asking me. And so there's an importance and a response that needs to be a part of that. So I'm encouraging you to make sure that you're understanding those are biblical grounds and guidelines that God has given to us. Now, since I'm in this deep, I might as well keep getting deeper. The fact is that many times people go through a separation and they're on the route to divorce, but they're not there. They're just separated, but they're planning on getting a divorce. And they say, okay, now I'm free to date. No, you're not. You're not divorced. You're still married. Until you get a divorce decreement, and it's in writing and paper, it's not happened. And so you have no right to be dating someone. That's a biblical basis. And you say, oh, well, it's just a piece of paper. And I say, it was only a piece of paper that got you married. It's only a piece of paper that gets you unmarried. You wait for the piece of paper before you have intercourse in a relationship, because then you're married. You wait for the piece of paper when you're divorced, so you're free to date or see someone else. That's an important message, and it just needs to be heard by all of us, because our world is preaching a different message, and you're not hearing it clearly. Thanks. Let me say this before I go any further. God has certain boundaries and guidelines that he intends for us to follow. They need to be moving at the same place. And so when we get out of line in those boundaries, it distorts our thinking and our ability to process clearly. So, for example, when we get physically involved in a relationship, sexually, physically, before marriage, we now think this relationship means more than it does. And then it distorts our ability to think about this clearly. And we ignore warning signs that may be going up, because we're in a relationship at a different level than where God intends us. Same emotionally. When we get too emotionally attached in a relationship before we are married at that point, then what tends to happen is it distorts our picture, and we think this relationship means more than it does. We're not able to see clearly the warning signals that come up. Now, this could be repeated in all kinds of areas, and that's why we need to move through the relationship in the right order and perspective and at the right timing. Very, very important that we would be able to see that. Why do people keep making the same mistake? Because you'll see people who date and get married and then have an abusive relationship, get divorced, get married into another abusive relationship. Why does that happen? Something is broken inside of us. We're not seeing that brokenness because we are broken as well as they are. We're attracted to a broken person. And before we know it, we get into another relationship just like the past. What we have to do is make sure we're understanding biblically how we move into these and watch for warning signs as they come. Now, this message is not just about married people. So if you're sitting there and single and you're thinking, okay, I can cross this one out, I don't have to tune in. Wrong, because we have to learn how to grow in all relationships, whether we're looking toward a marriage or not. We all have toxic relationships that can be damaging to us and to our spiritual journey. So we have to be cautious as we're walking through that, understanding what God would want to teach us as a result. And so there's a great importance in learning those as we would go through that. Next, do you feel afraid of that person? These answers are never, sometimes, frequently. When you share your thoughts and feelings about something important to you, does the person ignore, make fun of, or dismiss you? Are you verbally or physically abusive toward the person? Does the person always think that he or she is right and doesn't stop arguing with you until you're worn out or give in? Does the person make the most of your decision for you? Does the person control the family money, giving you little or no say? Have you given up things that were important to you because the person pressured you? Does the person pout or withdraw from you for extended periods of time when he or she is angry or upset with you? When you ask for a timeout or don't want to talk about something anymore, does the person keep badgering you to engage? Does the person lie to you? Have you observed the person lying to others? Does the person tell you something didn't happen when you know it did? Does the person tell you he or she didn't say something when you're pretty sure he or she did? Does the person depend on you to meet all their needs? Do you feel more like a child than an adult in the relationship? Are you emotionally devastated when the person is upset with you or doesn't want to be in relationship with you? When you try to talk with the person about something that's bothering you, do you end up feeling like the trouble is your fault? When the person does something wrong, does he or she blame you or anyone else for it? Does the person make excuses for his or her behavior, anger, jealousy, lies? Do you feel loved and cared for in the relationship? Can you safely express an opinion that is different than yours, than the person's? Does the person show interest in you and your needs? Are you able to express your honest thoughts and feelings with the person? And when the person does something wrong, does he or she admit it and take responsibility for it? It'll give you, if you take that test with BeliefNet and you go on that, it'll give you a score. And there's several places. Part of the score is the fact that does some of this happen to all of us sometime? Yes. Some of these things do. Let me say this. There's never an excuse for abuse. So if you're in a physically abusive relationship, a very unhealthy sign is when anybody says, I deserved it, I shouldn't have done that, I made them angry. And those are all unhealthy statements, because everyone has to take responsibility for their own action. No one makes us abuse anybody else. And we're all wrong when we're saying that. That's a very unhealthy pattern. Let me say as well, you don't ever marry somebody hoping they will change. You don't marry anyone hoping they will change. You marry them hoping they're going to be as good as what they are now, later. That's what you marry them. You don't marry them thinking it's defrauding. It's actually expecting someone to be something that they're not. It's unfair to the person. And so there are certain things that will be important for you to look for and to watch. But you certainly do not go into a relationship expecting them to become different than what they already are. When I dated Sharon, and when she dated me, we were both looking for a person who was already a strong believer, already invested in ministry in their church, already. We weren't marrying somebody to become something else. We were marrying somebody who we believed what we saw was already there. That's exactly how we have to look at this. So when we need to identify those unhealthy relationships to defend ourselves. That's part of the beginning process that needs to happen. There's more hope for fools than for people who think they are wise. Proverbs is full of scripture that is wisdom scripture that can help us as we look toward relationships and future. Here are some cautions or signs to unhealthy or enmeshed relationships. One of the families in our church, when I did Our Lives Under Construction about 7-8 years ago, when I did that series, what they did is I gave one of those tests, like I just did, and they had two teenage daughters. They printed off that test and made them put it in their purse, and if they were in a relationship, they wanted to haul that out and ask those questions to make sure that they were in a healthy relationship and not in one that was dangerous. That's part of that process that we all need to be aware of. How can we help one another? Now, if you're in a friendship relationship, it may be toxic as well. And there may be friendships that you have. Most likely, you understand, if there's something broken inside of us, we are attracted to someone else who is broken. So the danger signs are all over. but we don't see it. That's why we have to be really cautious as we move through that process to find a healthy relationship to be existent. That's why we need some outside sources, questions, and that kind of thing to help us to see, wow, like I can see this is a problem. I think we got problems, and I don't even think we realized. Well, that's what this helps. That's why sometimes you need a counselor. That's why sometimes you need an outside source to be able to help you. Here's some questions. Do you close your eyes to irresponsible behavior? Now, these can be in friendship relationships or in family relationships, mother, father, daughter, son, or marriages. So any of these, and that you need to be careful if they're toxic relationships. Do you close your eyes to irresponsible behavior? Do you keep secrets or tolerate abuse? Do you sacrifice to cover up someone else's mistakes? Do you cater to a lazy person's whims? Are you caving into an angry person's demands? Do you make excuses? Sometimes we make excuses for the other person and aren't looking. Do you justify behavior? Do you accept the blame for something you never did? Do you enable an addiction? See, that codependent relationship that can exist oftentimes will put us in a place where we're enabling someone else in that. Do you lie to yourself or others? So we need to make sure that we're understanding what's coming before us. So be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Be on your guard. We have to make sure that we're understanding and looking carefully. Unhealthy relationships can be toxic or poisonous to us, into our spiritual development, and to all that's a part of it. So what do we need to do to understand those? Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. When relationships have constant strife and division, they can be toxic. When they're constant strife, constant division. Now, whether this is friendship or in a home or family, you may have to be able to set up some boundaries in regard to these, just to protect those. When relationships continue to remind you of your former life and want to hold you back, they can be toxic. You see, we need to make sure that there's forgiveness. I'm moving past where I was. I'm moving into a new place. Like I said earlier, you don't ever get into a relationship believing somebody's going to become better. You realize they are who they are. And if they become better, that's a bonus. But that's not what you're marrying them expecting. When relationships rob you of the power or control over your life or try to manipulate you, they can be toxic. When you have to lose your identity to be in a relationship, it can be toxic. You need to be yourself. Yourself is the best person you can ever be. And so you don't have to become someone else for someone else. When you have to compromise your character to be in a relationship, it can be toxic. So you should be able to be your faith, and that's why I look for someone of like faith, like spiritual faith as well. When there's an imbalance in the give and take in relationship, it can be toxic. So we should not always be giving or not always taking. There should be a balance in this relationship. So there's a give and take in relationship. But if you're the one always giving, something's wrong. And so you need to be able to see that it can be toxic for you. And so to acquire wisdom is to love yourself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. So there's an importance of learning how to love myself, have an appreciation and a respect for myself. I'm not going to let down. I'm not going to let somebody make me to be somebody else that I'm not. I am the best me I can be. And you have to make sure. And that's why when we look at scripture, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a love for ourselves that has to be. And insecurity is saying you don't love yourself. And you're not feeling secure enough in who you are. And so we need to continue to let God build us up and become who we need to be. How should we handle toxic or unhealthy relationships? How do we survive those? Well, identify relationships that are toxic. We have to first figure out which ones, if they are. And if we're in those, then we need to know what I can do. Now, obviously, we handle it differently if it's our partner in marriage that is a toxic relationship, or if it's a family member, or if it's a friend. If the friendship is toxic, then you just need to find new friends. It's just not working. However, if it's a family member, you may have to set up certain boundaries and follow those. If it's a partner, you may have to get into a place either of separation or in counseling to make sure that you can both agree, here's how changes need to happen. So don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Scripture tells us very clearly, if it's a toxic relationship, then don't be misled. You can't stay in that. What else? Don't make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. This should be a warning sign to you. I came through the airport a few weeks ago, and as we were coming through, there was a guy. He was working there. I'm not sure where he worked, but he had some kind of a uniform on. He was talking on the phone, and as he was, I could hear he was getting angrier. Finally, he took the phone and he threw it across the room, smashed it against the wall, and I thought, whew, now, if she didn't know she was in a bad relationship before this, she should certainly stay away from this now. That's Proverbs tells you over and over about a hot temper. If you have a hot temper, that should be a quick sign to the other person. This is not a good relationship to be in. I don't need to be emotionally manipulated by their anger and their responses. Now, if you're an angry person, I suggest you find out why you're angry and try to understand why it's so close to the surface that it comes out so quickly, because there's some reasons why that would be the case. We are talking next week about the hurt that we get from others. Many times that could be a part of that process and what's happening. And so let God be God. It's not your responsibility to fix others or for their success or failure. So what do we see? It's not your job to fix someone else. You're not the Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit, and He does that. And so you don't have to be convicting. You don't have to be trying to change other people. Let God do that. In fact, if you're in the way, God can't do it. So get out of the way and let Him do it. That's much more important in that whole journey. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. So what is I saying? It said that God can discipline. He can handle this. He will take care of this. Let Him do it. Be comfortable with criticism. That may come your way, as you will not please everyone. The fact is, when you make decisions to boundary yourself and to protect yourself, you'll probably get criticism from people who don't understand or know the whole story. It's just the way it is. So just be comfortable with it. Know in your heart you're doing the right thing, you're doing what you need to be doing, and let God take care of the rest. Scripture says there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers you were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. I like how the Message renders that particular paraphrase to that verse. So there's an importance of making sure that we're seeing that. Be careful to draw boundaries for yourself and for others. You've got to remember that if someone has violated your trust, you have to forgive them. It's your will and your decision. You must forgive, but you don't have to trust them. So please, I talked about this before, there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. So just because I've forgiven someone, I'm not going to put myself in the place where I'm trusting them. If there is an abuser, for example, who has abused someone, I have to forgive them, but I'm not going to put my kids in a place where I trust them. I want to make sure I am protecting. And so that means I'm going to set up some boundaries to make sure those are in place. It's appropriate. It's biblical. Look at this. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and a second warning. After that, have nothing to do with them. That's scripture. That's a boundary. Is that a clear boundary or what? So see, sometimes we get in our mind that as I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, so I have to always just turn the other cheek and let them abuse me on that side too. Not true. That's not at all backing up Scripture. Scripture is very clear that we can have boundaries. We should follow those and keep those in place. And so it's an important part. Seek peace within those boundaries. So I have to guard my spirit. I can't be bitter and angry and resentful in this. Guard my spirit, but seek peace, even though I have boundaries put in place. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So I have a responsible as much as I am able. Now, if they don't want to respond to that and they don't want to have peace, that's their choice. But as much as I can do, I will do it. So there's an important message that we need to hear. Let love always be your guide, no matter what the circumstances. It will assist you in building healthy relationships. So if you want to have those healthy relationships, let that develop. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Excuse me. There's a great importance of making sure that we're going to continue to grow in these no matter what our circumstances are. One, love one another and show affection. God's called us to express what's inside our hearts by affection that's shown outside. So that's part of our journey and part of what needs to happen. Treat one another with kindness and respect. Even though I have to draw a boundary, even though I have to be responsible, even though this person is unhealthy, we still need to treat one another with kindness. God's called us, and respect for each person. Show compassion to each other. That means, you know, looking on the situation, Jesus looked and his heart was filled with compassion. It's the emotion that would be a part of that as we're seeing people that are around us that need Christ. Walk in humility and be honest with one another. Honesty is basically humility. And so when we see this, it's not, humility isn't saying, I can't do this and I'm a worm and I'm worthless. That's not humility. Honesty is realizing who I am, the strengths that I have, the weaknesses that I have, and telling those and realizing how much I depend on God. That's honesty and that's humility. Let gentleness be your guide. Let gentleness be your guide. It's strength under control. That's one of the ways that they talk about gentleness and making sure that we're demonstrating that in our lives. Offer patience to those in your world. They may need to offer it to you. And so continue to allow the Spirit of God to increase the fruit of the Spirit in each of our lives. Practice forbearance to others. You'll need it in return. Forbearance is an opportunity for you to be able to extend grace and mercy to someone else. And so you need to make sure that that is happening. And then let forgiveness be a grace that is freely extended and build trust. Realize grace needs to be given to all of us and build trust in a slow process and slow journey. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. That's what God wants to do in each of our lives as we put our trust in him. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us unconditionally. It's a journey for each of us to understand and to know how to do that and how you want to work through each of our lives. We realize, Lord, that there's hurt, there is pain, there is violation and unhealthy ways that have happened to many lives that are here. But Father, as we continue to learn and grow and trust in you, your Spirit continues to teach us and guide us. Lord, we're just grateful for all that you do, all that you mean to us. Help us to continue to grow in our walk with you, grow in our understanding. We'll give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.